Greetings, this is J.R. Dickey. Thanks for tuning in to our podcast. And by the way, don't forget our website, graceandtruth.net. I hope you're having a great day, but if not, hang with me. It's about to get better. Is God withholding from us? Well, that's exactly what Satan implied in the Garden of Eden. Today's lesson's going to be all about that. Let's get started. From the earliest days of mankind's presence on earth, Satan has been working to convince us that God is withholding something from us. Genesis chapter 3 puts it this way. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Well, the clear implication was that God did not want us to be like him. A lie, possibly born out of jealousy. For Satan himself pridefully wanted to be like God, and it cost him. We read about that in Isaiah chapter 14, where it says, "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations? For you have said in your heart, 'I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High.' Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit." But God has always intended just the opposite. We can see that in how he dealt with Adam and Eve, as well as what he says about us who believe in his Son. Romans chapter 8 talks about this. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed." Get that, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Notice the past tense and all that above. God knew the outcome from before the beginning. Of course, we didn't. Adam may have thought, "Oh, this is a tough job, having to work so hard just to live." That's because God cursed the ground for his sake. But as we all know, working hard was what Adam and many, if not all of us, need to develop character and help us appreciate what we receive from a loving hand of God. Eve learned to invest in her children, teaching them to reverence God, and she learned the value of humility. When she was wanting to be like God initially, it may have been for different reasons, but she was indeed, as a result of God's judgment, learning godliness from her Maker. In fact, most believers, if they were to list God's character attributes, would say, well, holiness and perfection and kindness and forgiveness and mercy. And these very attributes are those he calls on us to embrace and manifest ourselves. Leviticus 11 says, "For I am the Lord that brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." And Ephesians 4 says, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." And in Luke 6, we read, "Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful." That is, friends, he's telling us to be like him. Unfortunately, even as believers, we often still don't get him. We get hung up on the power, the miracles, the radiant glory, and we forget the most excellent things: love, mercy, and graciousness. That is the who attributes of his character, as opposed to the what attributes. But that's going to change, because we have this promise out of 1 John 3:2. It says, "Beloved, now are we children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now, there are some who desire godliness who try to manifest godliness out of pride, to be seen of men. But God wants us to be like him in love, in mercy, in grace, in humility, and so on. This is who we will see then. Sin-filled hearts of prideful men can, frankly, only be impressed with power, radiant glory. You know, that's what knocked down the madman Saul, who was seeking to persecute believers. In the book of Acts, it reads in Acts 9, "As he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from the heaven, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads.'" But humble, broken sinners like Mary are impressed with who he is. Out of John chapter 20, it says, "Jesus, after he had risen from the dead, said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him, 'Rabboni,' which is to say, 'teacher.' Jesus said to her, 'Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and to your Father and to my God and your God.'" You see, he is the radiant glory and power, but he is also the grace and mercy and love. Because why? He's complete. He's perfect. And he calls us to be the same. It says in Matthew 5, "Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect." That's Jesus speaking. And for that to be possible, he had to put on flesh, become one of us, experience the totality of being human, and do so perfectly, completely, without sin. Hebrews 2 verse 17 says, "Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people." And in Hebrews chapter 4, he adds, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points," get that, "all points, tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Yeah, contrary to the devil's lies back in Eden, God does want us to be like him, like his son, and that is a complete, that is perfect package deal. Now may the Lord grant you peace in the midst of any storm, and faith to trust him. Look for our next podcast, and may you realize more of his grace today.